Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is June 2nd. We're on day two of our speed review. Master your time, master your life. And I'm glad that you are here today with us. And hopefully you joined us yesterday for day one of our speed review. We're talking about this book written by Brian Tracy, and he is discussing what do we do with our life? What are we doing with the time in our life? And it's really important for us to think about these things in a longer-term scale as far as let's not just focus on getting through today. Let's not just go to work on Monday and try to survive till Saturday. Let's actually have some kind of plan so that we're a little bit more satisfied with our life, and we have actually put into place things that help us reach our long-term goals. So that's what this is all about, and trying to get us to think along those lines. I've got two panels back with me today from yesterday, Brandon Bryant and Linda Chung. Hi.
Hi, Bill.
Great to have you back here for day two of this article. And before we get into our reading for today, I want to ask each one of you for a pearl of wisdom from yesterday, maybe something that particularly stood out for you. So let me ask Linda first.
Okay. Well, yesterday we heard we talked about some of the questions that Brian Tracy wants us to ask ourselves in order to establish a personal strategic plan. And one of them was, how did I get to where I am today? So looking at our past failures and successes. And we said yesterday we're not to focus on the past. Like you may, you know, have done some things really well or maybe not so well, but the important thing is to learn from those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very good point, Linda. Brandon?
I like how we ended yesterday. We talked about time wasters, and this is a big one. There are many things that waste our time. For example, maybe it's a text message or it's an email, and there are meetings. There are many ways that we waste our time. Well, how can we maybe get some of that out of our life or organize that better? You know, there are often idle conversations even, you know, idle talking about no particular purpose. And that can, those kinds of things can also drain our energy. You know, if we do too much of that, we don't have enough energy and we don't have enough time for the things that are really important.
That's a really good point, Brandon, as far as these idle conversations. We can easily get caught up in those idle conversations. It might be with coworkers. Often it's with coworkers. We're going to be at the office and something comes up. A lot of times it's gossip.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times it's complaining, complaining about the company or complaining about the boss, or it might be complaining about the politics.
Yeah.
And you can really waste a lot of time on these conversations. They pretty much accomplish nothing.
Right.
They accomplish nothing. If anything, what I've learned from these idle conversations, gossip, complaining, politics, they actually bring me down.
And they create division, right?
Right. They create division. They create arguments. And I try and avoid this stuff as much as possible because it affects my mood. Mm-hmm. It will make me negative, and that certainly doesn't help with my work productivity, being in a negative frame of mind. So I also would just, you know, I'm big on trying to avoid the distractions. I mentioned yesterday I've got all these digital platforms now where people can contact me, whether it's email or text messaging or LinkedIn or Facebook. And it's, like Linda said, it takes a lot of time just checking those things. And just think about that. I've got people sending me stuff all the time. Oh, look at this attachment. Oh, here's a video link. Here's a story, right?
Right.
And we don't realize, well, that's 2-3 minutes I might spend on something. Well, that all adds up in the day.
Well, Bill, I'm wondering, what is something you do to avoid some of those distractions? I need to write it down so I can learn from
this. I've started to avoid just even clicking on that stuff. For instance, I'm in a couple line groups. I get all these articles and videos. I don't even click on them. I just don't have time for them. I have to look at attachments, whether it's articles or videos, and I have to say, is this relevant to me getting something, this thing done that I need to get done? And if it's not, then I just don't. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I just don't have time because we don't think about it, but, you know, these articles and videos, you know, they take up 2-3 minutes. And well, by itself, it might not seem like much. But if you add it up over the course of the day, you're looking at 15 or 30 minutes gone out the window.
Yeah.
And if you need some downtime, then it's fine. But otherwise, it's wasting your time.
Right.
But, like, especially on Facebook, sometimes I just avoid opening it, you know, don't even touch that app.
Yeah.
Because I might think, oh, I just want to check this thing. And then it ends up being 15, 20 minutes or more. And then that's just wasted time.
One of the things that I have done myself is I've actually gone on a Facebook fast for 30 days. I've done this twice. I actually deactivated my account and did not go on Facebook for 30 days. I recommend it for everybody. And I talk about it in my book, Heads Up Taiwan, is that for 30 days I left Facebook, and a couple of different things happened. I went to bed earlier, an hour and a half earlier. Very interesting.
Wow.
I never even thought about that. I got an hour and a half extra sleep every night, which made me better the next day.
Right.
So your sleep will increase. The second thing is that my attitude increased. Okay. And then the third thing is that, and this is really cool, nobody missed me. Right? I was off Facebook for 30 days. And I've got 1,000 friends. And then after like 2.5 weeks, finally one person sent me an email, said, hey, you're not on Facebook. It's after 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? And so what happens is when you're out of that loop, okay, it's not that people don't care, but the thing is you're not participating in the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. There's so much distraction going on there. Mm-hmm. People don't even notice you're not there.
Sure.
It's like being at a big party and you leave. Like, most people won't even know you left.
Right.
Until like an hour later.
Yeah.
Where's Brandon?
Yeah.
So... I recommend that everybody do that to maintain their sanity. Try it. Facebook fast, no Facebook for 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. That's enough about that. Let's get into our reading for today. We are on day two of this speed review, and let's have our first reading.
In the productive time chapter, Tracy highlights the three keys to productivity. 1. Clarity. Tracy's focus here is on a clear understanding of expected results, the production part of productivity. Exactly what will make people see you as dependable and valuable? 2. Focus. Productivity depends on a single-minded focus on the task at hand. Multitasking productivity, writes Tracy, is a myth. 3. Concentration. Being able to concentrate for extended periods of time is a difficult but vital skill, he writes.
Okay, yesterday we were talking about Brian Tracy, and he recommended establishing a personal strategic plan based on 4 questions, and we went through these 4 questions yesterday. Now we move into productive time chapter, and Brian Tracy then highlights 3 keys to productivity. And the first one is
clarity. And here his focus is on a clear understanding of expected results, the production part of productivity.
Like the word clarity, what does that mean?
Being clear, being precise in what you are looking at.
Okay. All right, having a clear vision of what we are looking for. So, and he then finishes this paragraph with exactly what will make people see you as dependable and valuable. Are you dependable and valuable?
Oh, wow, that's a loaded question, Bill. I hope I'm
heard good things about you.
I hope I'm dependable. If you're dependable, it means people can depend upon you to do something. For example, at work. If you're dependable, they can trust you to get the things done that you need to get done.
Right.
And if you're valuable, of course, that means that you have lots of value, that you can do things that help a company and so forth. And so what makes you dependable? What makes you valuable? And, of course, that word valuable can be a really kind of tricky. Our value is not really based upon what we do. It might be for a company, but, our value is... much more than that. It's much broader than that. Of course, If you believe that God created you, our identity is found in Him, and that's our value. And so that's where our value should come from, not just based on what we do. Because if we get caught up in that, and, you know, what we do is our values tied too closely to that, then we can become very, focused on production too much.
Right, right. Very good point, Brandon. Next one.
Focus. Productivity depends on a single-minded focus on the task at hand. So when you're looking at what you're doing, try to just have one target in mind, not many things. And here we see the word multitasking productivity. Tracy believes that this is a myth, that this is not true, being able to multitask.
What do you think, Linda?
Well, personally, I am not very good at multitasking, so maybe, I don't know, it isn't a realistic thing, but some people are very good at it or have the semblance of being able to do many things at one time. Mm-hmm. Like they can talk on the phone, have a conversation, and be writing an email all at the same time, you know, but I can't do that.
All right. Well, I've noticed that, mothers are really good at multitasking as far as handling multiple children, right? Or even one child and doing other things around the home. So mothers are amazing. They can do things that fathers can't do when it comes to actually dealing with the family and everything. That's one area. Now, when we're talking about work here, it's really interesting. There's different views on this multitasking. I also have watched some videos, and I included them in my book about multitasking. There was a Stanford professor named Clifford Nass who had done extensive studies into multitasking, and he actually had done CAT scans of people's brains and what's going on when we're multitasking. His conclusion was that multitasking is a myth.
Mm.
We think we're doing more, but we're not being productive.
That's good to know, because I can't do it.
So. Now, we're busy, but we're not really more productive, and also the effectiveness of our work goes down. So we're kind of fooling ourselves.
Reminds me of that whole thing about quality over quantity.
Yeah. You know,
just focus on one or two things and don't try to do everything.
Yeah. And so what's happening with multitasking is we're trying to do it all, but we're not doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing it all rather poorly.
Yeah.
Or just so-so. We're doing a so-so job on things. So that's why we need this single-minded focus. Pick one thing that's most important and focus your energies on that. That takes concentration.
That's right. You need to concentrate on what you are doing. Being able to concentrate for extended periods of time is a difficult but vital skill. And it is hard to concentrate on something for a long period. And sometimes there are so many distractions, so we're not able to concentrate on something for a long period of time. But I find for me, I need breaks. You know, if I'm doing something that it's kind of draining my energy, I need to stop for a minute and do something else and then maybe come back to it.
Okay. So far, Brian Tracy has talked about the time and strategic plans. In our next section, he's talking about money.
How much money are you making? While the work and productivity chapters might fit into the traditional concept of time management, the income improvement time chapter emphasizes what to focus on rather than how to use time effectively. At the heart of this chapter is the concept of You, Inc. People must think of themselves as independent businesses, whether or not they work for others. Earning ability, which Tracy writes, is the total accumulation of all your knowledge, skills, experience, study, hard work, and results you have acquired, represents the assets of the business. As with any business's assets, your earning ability may be appreciating or depreciating. It is up to you, Tracy argues, to ensure the appreciation of your assets by, for example, revamping any skills that have become obsolete. All of Tracy's chapters end with three action exercises. For the income improvement chapters, Tracy recommends 1. Identifying the one skill that, more than any other skill, would make you more valuable. 2. No matter how long it takes, create a plan to master the skill and implement this plan with single-minded focus. And 3. Set aside a minimum of 10 hours per week to learn, study, and develop this most important skill.
Welcome back, everyone. And so in this part of the article, we're talking about how much money are you making. So we've already discussed work and productivity. Those chapters, they might fit into the traditional concept of time management, but this chapter on income improvement time is not so traditional. Right, Bill?
Well, it's a little bit different, but I think it's really important. It's okay to have money in the right context, and it fits in with everything. What I find with a lot of people is that we get this backwards in order. One of the first complaints I hear from people is, I don't have enough money. I need more money. I need another job with more money. They're going to change jobs to go get more money. And that is actually so much of a focus, it's almost backwards, because that becomes the first thing. And the time management and the strategic plan is like after that. Well, you've got to do the time management and strategic planning first. The money comes later. People get this a little mixed up. The first thing they want is more money. And my question is, well, why would anybody pay you more money?
Yeah.
Are you worth it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you skilled? Have you earned this? And they're like, I just want more.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You got to do these things to make it happen.
Right. You need kind of a long-term plan and put that in place. Think about the future. And so here in this chapter, income improvement time chapter, they're emphasizing what to focus on rather than how to use time effectively.
Okay. At the heart of this chapter, meaning the core of this chapter, the main point of this chapter is the concept of
You Inc.
Which You Inc.
I find rather interesting. Yeah. So we're supposed to think of ourselves as an independent business. And whether or not we work for others. So thinking of ourselves as a business, I don't think I've ever thought of myself in that
really?
Way before.
You've never thought of Linda Inc.?
No.
I actually had a guy tell me a couple of years ago, I was asking him some career advice, and he said, you need to focus on Bill Quinn Incorporated.
Hmm.
Hey, the guy actually said that to me. And I was like, I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. And we live in a tumultuous time economically and in the workplace, and he wanted me to think differently. So,
yeah, it makes me think of if you're in a job, you can try to do new things that maybe you want to do. For example, mm-hmm. maybe you want to create videos or whatever it is you want to do, and you can, you know, what skills does it take? And then maybe you can work toward that, and your boss will see that, and maybe you can start doing that. Whatever that you want to do, work toward it and see how you can implement that in your current job.
And that will affect your earning ability. Mm-hmm. And Brian Tracy writes that it is what?
It is the total accumulation of all of your knowledge, skills, experience, steady hard work, and results you have acquired.
Okay. These are the assets of the business. They are your assets. This is what you bring to the job. So, and as with any business assets?
Well, your earning ability may be appreciating or depreciating. So let's take a look at those terms. If something is appreciating, it's increasing in worth, and the opposite is to depreciate. And so that decreases in worth. And so your skills, think about yourself. Are you increasing in that area, or is there a decrease? And maybe you need to take some classes, sharpen up your skills in order to make yourself more, quote-unquote, valuable to your company.
Yeah, he talks about this as far as revamping any skills that have become obsolete.
Right, I like that word, revamping. You need to update or renew the skills that are no longer useful, that are obsolete. They don't serve any purpose anymore.
Yeah. I had used the term retool in a conversation a little bit earlier here with Brandon. Retool, R-E-T-O-O-L. Retool means to, like, get new tools or update my tools and my personal tools. I have to retool. I have to think about this as far as how am I getting better as far as my skill base. And I might need to take classes or do some other studies. And this involves a lot of different things. It's not just learning a new piece of software. That's an obvious thing. We might need to learn, you know, how to use a certain spreadsheet or a graphic design program. But we can also retool in other areas. We can learn another language. We can actually take classes to learn management or leadership skills.
That's right. You can do something totally new.
Mm-hmm. So you have to constantly be working on this as far as updating your skill base that makes you more valuable to organizations so that they will pay you more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of just switching jobs and you haven't, you know, added any skills. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. We continue all of Tracy's chapters in with three action exercises. And so for this, we talk about income improvement chapters. Brian Tracy recommends?
Well, number one, identifying the one skill that more than any other skill would make you more valuable. So hone in on that. Focus on that one skill and then try to improve in that area.
I think this is a really good point because as we go through our careers, how we feel about where we are in our careers can be overwhelming. Most people reach a point of being either dissatisfied or discontent. A lot of people do. And then they try and think, well, how do I change this? And we think we need a massive overhaul of things. And when really, a lot of times, all we need is that one thing. We need to change maybe 10% or 15% of what we're doing as far as a skill, and then that can make a huge difference. So identify one skill that will really help you and focus on that. Number two.
No matter how long it takes, create a plan to master this skill and then implement or put this plan into action with a single-minded focus. So here we're back to having a single-minded target or focus.
Okay, no matter how long it takes. And this means that's another thing why people put things off. They might say, oh, well, if I did this, it's going to take a year or two, which tends to overwhelm us again. A lot of times that's why we don't embark on these self-improvement courses or classes. We think, oh, it's going to take too long. Mm-hmm. We want it in a weekend.
Yeah.
But it takes time.
That's right, but it's going to help you in the long run. So if you don't take the time to do it now, then you'll probably regret it later. So you need to implement those plans. And it reminds me of the fact that you shouldn't be a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Right? You need to just focus in on what you're really good at and how can I improve in that area.
I'll give you an example. I was talking with Brandon before the program and then in the fall, I'm actually going to start a master's program, and it takes 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long time. And I have to think about my age, and I'm not going to hide it. I'm 55, and so a lot of people might look at it and say, wow, you'll be 58 by the time you get this. And I thought about it. I said, yeah, it takes a long time, and that'll be my age. And I thought, well, but if I don't get it, I'll still be 58 in 3 years.
Right.
I'll still be that age.
Right.
So I'm investing.
Yeah.
I'm taking time out and I'm going to invest that I need. It's just retooling.
Yeah.
It's retooling. And we have to do this. Here's the thing. We plan and focus so much when we're students on all of this stuff. But as we get adults, we tend to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
We're on our own. We get lost. We get knocked around. And the thing is, we get off course and then we don't continue this education as we get older. We just stop at like 22, right? Some people go on for masters or whatever at 25, but for the most part after 30 then we just stop this retooling. That's the problem. That's why we get bogged down in life. So now let's get on to number three.
Number three is set aside a minimum of 10 hours per week to learn, to study, to develop this most important skill. And so here is part of the planning. You need to actually schedule this in 10 hours a week.
Okay, make time, schedule it, and then this will become part of your routine. You won't even think about it.
Right. You need to be committed. And the phrase that comes into my mind, practice makes perfect, regardless of whatever, you know, natural skill that you were born with, if you keep practicing, you may not eventually become perfect, but you'll get there.
You'll become good.
Yeah. You'll get close to it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's wrap up this reading.
Other chapters in Master Your Time, Master Your Life cover other lifestyle and success topics. such as creative time, problem-solving time, people and family time, and spare time. Each chapter is filled with Tracy's signature, straightforward advice and techniques. Tracy is a master at framing his success advice. This latest entry effectively uses, to paraphrase Franklin, the raw material of life, time.
Bill Quinn with Brandon Bryant and Linda Chung, we're wrapping up Master Your Time, Master Your Life. We're on the last little section here of our reading. It talks about the other chapters in this book by Brian Tracy. And he covers not just strategic plans and time management, but also things like lifestyle topics. And particularly, I like the idea of covering people in family time and spare time. It's just as important that we have a plan on this, too. So, you know, think about these things, and I advise everybody, write this stuff down. If you write this stuff down, what your goals are with all of this, it will happen. If you don't write it down, it's probably not going to happen.
Mm.
So write it down. And this book, I've listened to Brian Tracy over the years. He does have a very straightforward style. That's his signature style. That's what he's known for. He's very straightforward. He can be a little harsh sometimes, but he gets to the point. He hits you right between the eyes, we say.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts from Brandon and Linda?
Well, this article just reminds me that I need to focus on how I'm spending my time and what changes can I make in that area. Because, to be honest, it's easy to waste time. So how can I make some changes?
Right. And being committed to making those changes or focusing on that particular skill that you want to improve on and perfect.
Okay. All right, listeners, I hope we have helped you out with mastering your time and also having a strategic plan for your future. You're in my hopes and dreams that you reach your goals in life. So part of that reaching that goal is listening to Advance every day, help you get great at English. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Till next time, this is Bill.
Brandon.
Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.